In your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So Psalm 118 forms the culmination of what the rabbis used to call the Great Hallel. The Great Hallel is a section of Psalms where the phrase Hallelujah is replete in them, normally considered to be Psalms 113 through 118. 112 we can also include there, but really it stretches all the way back to 111. But that phrase Hallelujah, you remember that's a Hebrew word, and in Hebrew we kind of pile on little components to a word to make it say more than what we would say in English. In other words, it takes three or four words to say that one word in Hebrew. We say, praise ye the Lord, and hallelujah means exactly that. And so the other phrase that is often repeated in Psalm 118 is that Hebrew phrase, and you've heard it before, Ki le'olam chasdo, which means his mercy endures forever. And it's really not mercy like merciful kindness. It's his mercy like covenant fidelity. It's that kind of mercy. It's his covenant mercies. It's that God keeps his promises to his people. So Psalm 118 is sort of the punctuation mark on the end of that Hallel section of the Psalter. And then, Lord willing, this afternoon we will begin Psalm 119, which is really a summary of the Psalter itself. If the Psalter is a little Bible, Psalm 119 is a little Psalter. Okay? All right, with that then, here we have enjoined, pressed to the people of God the specific duty of praise and thanksgiving and the specific reason for it, that the covenant faithfulness of God endures forever. Let Israel now say, let the house of Aaron now say, let them that fear the Lord now say. If we wanted to maybe make a theological parsing of those three phrases, let the house of Israel now say, that would be the visible church. Let the house of Aaron now say, that would represent the officers of the church. And then let those that fear the Lord now say, that would be those who are truly saved, who have that true grace of regeneration upon them, those that truly fear the Lord. And so notice that for the people of God, it doesn't matter who you are, this is indeed a duty, a happy duty, a joyous duty that is pressed to all of us. The universal nature of this praise, it is to come from all of God's people, from every office, from every place. And the remainder of the psalm is but a reflection or an exposition of the Lord's covenant faithfulness to his people. Pretty clear in all of that. All right, so first of all, in verses 5 through 7, we see the Lord as a defender. The Lord is our defender par excellence. We need not fear the prowess of any created thing, man or beast or angel, for it is the Lord that takes up our defense. Verses 5 through 7. And so his mercies endure. The second point would be verses 8 and 9. The Lord is the only right object of trust and confidence. And so he manifests his faithfulness as an object of trust. I would imagine that there were many professing Christians this week that were, or last week, were, you know, had their confidence eroded. Well, if they're putting their confidence in this country or in its leadership, then they would have had their confidence eroded. That's correct. But if their confidence is in the Lord, no matter what appears to be taking place, we have that greater understanding. And so we put our confidence in him. He is our trust. Then verses 10 through 12, he is an ally, a defender, a friend in times of distress. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. And if this is a Davidic psalm, which would be prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would understand the rights of the King of Kings to destroy those nations that come against him, to behave himself as the judge of all the earth. Notice that we talk about this compassing about, and it's repeated over and again, and it's augmented, right? First of all, they compass me about. Second, they compass me about. Third, they compass me about like bees, like bees. And yet, they are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And so notice that the psalmist recognizes there is no strength in himself to do so. Okay, so then in verses 13 through 18, as our strength and ally, as a faithful father and friend. And so now we add the Lord's chastisements to what we've heard before, because it is in his faithfulness that he does so. The Lord's chastisements are a part of his covenant mercies. As a matter of fact, we read in Hebrews chapter 12 that if we are without chastisements, then we're not true sons, not true daughters of the Lord. As we've said before, the Lord's chastisements that he sends, the afflictions that the Lord sends, are the Lord's love notes to his people. This is not popular to speak of this, but it is true. We think that the Lord loves us when everything goes well. We think that parents love their children when they give them everything they want and never spank them. But we see where that goes. We know where that goes. And so we understand then that it is the Lord in his faithfulness, in his covenant faithfulness to his children, that he behaves himself a faithful father to us. So he is our strength, our song. He has become our salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but hath not given me over unto death. All right, so then in verses 19 through 21, we see that the Lord is one who communes with his people. That he is not a God afar off, but he is a God near. And this also is a part of his covenant fidelity. Notice, open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go in unto them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and become my salvation. And so this further application then of God's covenant fidelity has to do with his communing with his people. He is a God who is near. And so we draw near to him in public worship. We draw near to him in private. We draw near to him in secret. And we have a confidence of the Lord's condescending mercy to us in every state of our worship toward him. All right, so then in the final section, 22 through 29, this is used in the New Testament in Matthew 21 and in Luke chapter 20. This is the triumphal entry of Christ being described here. So notice, now we understand that the gate that is being opened is truly being opened to Christ. Lord willing, this afternoon we begin a reading through the book of Ezekiel, the prophecy of Ezekiel. And we will see in that prophecy, long about chapter 43, that as the glory at one time departed, that the glory will return as the gate is opened, that east gate, and the prince shall enter in. Well, that's what's being said here as well. This is, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ entering into that gate, and then in Christ, all of his people. So notice, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That stone would be Christ, the chief cornerstone. The Lord identifies himself as that stone. The Apostle Peter identifies him as that stone. The Apostle Paul identifies him also as that stone, all citing the work here in Psalm 118. So notice now, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And often we take that verse out of context. We never get what we're supposed to get when we take Scripture out of context, right? The day that is being spoken of here is the day of Christ's accession to his throne. The day that Christ took his place at the right hand of God to adjudicate, to rule, to reign, to set up the kingdom of God formally. So that's the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And now we have this save now, right? What is that term? Save now. What's the Hebrew for that? Hosanna. You know that word too. We've learned that word. Hosanna, right? Hosa, which is, it comes from that same word where we get Joshua from, the name Joshua, which is the name of Christ himself. His Hebrew name is Joshua, like we heard last week. And then that na on the end is something that you add on the end of a Hebrew word, which means, I pray thee, please. So, Hosanna, save now, I pray thee. That's what the word Hosanna means. And so we have, send now prosperity. I beseech thee, Lord, I beseech thee. And the prosperity there is not an earthly prosperity. It's the prosperity of the saving strength of God as the kingdom of God is now being administered by Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And there is a day coming when the kingdom of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the face of the deep. We can have hope that even in dark days, like the days that we live in today, we can have hope that the gospel will go forward. It will advance. As a matter of fact, it often advances more particularly, more objectively, and more successfully under earthly difficult days. Right? That has been the Lord's pattern in history. During times of earthly disturbance, the church goes forward. The kingdom of God advances. So then, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Of course, that was said by the children unto Christ. The Pharisees said what? Tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, I could, but then how would you explain the rocks crying out instead? Right? So then, God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. And I'm with those commentators that say that what we're looking at here is this is the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice most particularly being advertised here. Remember that all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, beginning from the first sacrifice where God slew an animal and clothed Adam and Eve with it, was designed to point ahead to the principle of the substitutionary atonement where the Lord Jesus Christ would die in the place of his people. And so binding the sacrifice here is our Lord Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem in that triumphal entry in order for himself to become that great sacrifice for sinners, whereby the sins of his people would forever be forgiven. So thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Of course, we can sing this with knowledge, with understanding, to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then finally, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And so Psalm 118 ends where it began. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.